I've had the privilege of teaching world religion classes for the last couple of years at George Fox University, right, so outside of Portland, Oregon. I'm obviously not from Portland, Oregon, from Australia originally. And teaching world religion is probably one of my favourite classes to teach because it just challenges students on so many different levels. And as the designer of the course, I can kind of put the students through whatever I want them to go through. And so one of them is I send them out into the Portland community and they have to visit three different religious services. And so the students visit a Jewish synagogue, Islamic mosque, and a Buddhist temple. And inevitably, through this experience of just engaging with people of different faiths, and obviously sometimes for the students for the first time, just questions, authentic questions are raised in the classroom as students start to ask, is God the same for the Jews, for Christians, and for Muslims? They start to ask, is Jesus really the only way? Is Christianity really the only way? And within these discussions, the students go inward and they have to struggle with their own faith. Do they really believe it? Is it really true? And as Christian leaders, we often ask similar questions when we talk about engaging with people of different faiths. We have to ask, and our questions are a little bit different being leaders, right? And so we ask, how should we, how can we engage with people of different faiths? And so this summer I've been reading missionary biographies. Teachers have to do homework too. And because I'm going to be teaching a course in the fall. And I've been reading about Jonathan and Rosalind Goforth in China. I've been reading about C.T. Studd in Africa, about George Mueller, what a man. If he was young and single today, I tell you, George Mueller, England. All who worked in multi-religious communities. And as I studied their lives, I kind of saw these themes that came out and they were surprising. I mean, how did they approach sharing the gospel of Christ in multi-religious areas? And the themes that came out that stood out to me were three different things. One, they were authentic. They were real. They lived inside out. Their faith and their relationship with God was visible for everyone to see. They smelt like Jesus. Another thing is they didn't go in with programs and titles. We've been introducing ourselves. And again, I'm Australian. We're very egalitarian. And I shudder when everyone shares we share our titles. But they didn't come in with titles. They didn't come in with programs. They shared their own personal, private testimony with Christ. And thirdly, they invited people to experience God personally in real and tangible ways. I was several years in Papua New Guinea, an island north of Australia, south of America. And I lived in worked in Port Moresby, and I was involved in many different ministries, and one of them was called ARC Ministry, Always Remember Kids. And every Thursday, we'd get on this big blue truck, and all the Bible students and the staff would get on the truck, and we'd go a couple of blocks down the street, and we would have ARC Ministry, and we'd yell out, ARC Ministry! ARC Ministry! And if you've ever worked with kids, the kids would come running out of the woodworks, and they would come to a little field in the middle of the community, and we'd have games and snacks and Bible stories. And during this time, the mums would all sit at the top of the hill, and they would watch us and make sure, you know, we looked after the kids. Mums. You can teach me how to say that correctly later. And so one day, little Stephanie, who was 9, one of my friends, she kind of grabbed me and wanted me to introduce me to her mum. So she dragged me up the hill, and there was her mum. And you know these instances in our lives when you just meet someone and they tell you their whole life story? Just blah, blah, blah. And so within a second, she had told me that her in-laws hated her, and that they had hired a witch doctor to curse her so that she couldn't have any more children. 9 years and she hadn't had another child. And as I heard her story, I mean, I just met her, I just remembered the story of Hannah. And I shared with her the story of Hannah. And I said, you need to pray. There's a woman in the Bible, Hannah. And she prayed and she begged God for a child, and God heard her prayer. And as I was sharing the story, meanwhile, everyone had already packed up the truck and it was like ready to go. Such a bad missionary moment. And so I didn't pray for her. I just said, pray. You pray. I need to go. Pray. And that's it. I went off. Like several months passed and I was at the grocery store opposite my house. And I heard like, Sister Sarita in Papua New Guinea, everyone's a sister or a brother. And I turned around and it was Stephanie. And she was with her mum. And her mum said, oh, do you remember me? I'm like, yeah, Stephanie's mum. And she said, do you remember what you told me? I'm like, yeah, pray. And she's like, I prayed. She said, after you left, I prayed. She says, I'm 3 months pregnant. And I don't know who was more surprised, her or me. Sometimes we forget the power of God. And when my students ask me, you know, what's so special about Christianity? Like, is it really different? I always point it to Jesus. And I say, it's the transformative power of Jesus. That's what's unique about Christianity. May we learn from the people who have gone ahead of us. There's so many missionary biographies that are getting dusty on the shelves. Man, those stories are powerful. Testimonies of people who've gone before. Testimonies of faith. May we be authentic. May we smell like Jesus. May we share our personal stories. And may we invite people to experience the transformative power of Jesus.